Let me just take you back, because you have a comment on this, on sports. I just happened to be reading a book on Willie Mays. They referred to the Brown versus Board of Education decision. The scholar Charles Ogletree pointed out in All Deliberate Speed that Thurgood Marshall and Martin Luther King had very different approaches to ending segregation. Marshall believed in change through the court system. King advocated nonviolent political protests or extra-legal challenges. First of all, did you have any interaction with Martin Luther King at any time?
I did. I believe I may have been a sophomore at Notre Dame. Now, keep in mind the backdrop here. This was the height of the civil rights movement. I think King began to make his campaign actively, maybe 58, 59, possibly, when he sort of came to the forefront. He was invited to speak here in Tulsa at the First Baptist Church in Tulsa North. My father's office was right across the street from that church, which was abutting Carver Junior High School, where it was presently located. When he was invited, I was asked to introduce Reverend Ben Hill, who in his own right was quite a man and quite a preacher and quite an inspired speaker. I was invited to introduce him. He, in turn, would introduce Dr. King. So as a result, I had the privilege of sitting on the dais in the church.
And that year would have been?
I'm going to guess it had to be 58, 59, I think.
So you got to be there on the same stage. Do you remember the words of Martin Luther King then?
Well, only the same as, I won't say typical, but was of his style as it was when he spoke in Memphis. I mean, these were speeches that were uplifting and telling us, you know, that there is a way and that America has to come to grips with its own self on this issue. Inspiring. And as I said, my privilege was to introduce Ben Hill. But Ben Hill was the editor of the Oklahoma Eagle at the time, in addition to being the minister at the Vernon A&E Church. Of course, Dr. Hill, Ben Hill later became a state legislator in his retirement years. At that time, accompanying Dr. King was his right-hand man.
Ralph Abernathy?
Abernathy. And they both came over to my father's office. And I'm sitting in my father's desk in his main office. And on the other side of the desk, Reverend Abernathy and Dr. King. I know Reverend Abernathy, and I'm engaged in conversation. Now, here's a kid, a little college kid, whose claim to fame, perhaps from outside, was the fact that I was a Notre Damer, which was a rarity. As I indicated to you, there were maybe five of us at the time in undergraduate school. The others may have been graduate students. I don't have an independent recollection, but I think it may have been one of us in each class. Let's see, there were two of us. Dr. Pierre was my roommate. And I think we were the only two, Dick Gregory's brother, Ron, who at that time was the star of the Gregory family because he was a distance runner, track, and was on a scholarship there. Dr. Pierre was on a scholarship. My daddy paid my way there. In stark contrast, I think back then, the 4 years at Notre Dame was about 10 grand. Now, it's about 40 grand per year, if not more. I've had the privilege of sending one of my children there.
Let's bring you back then to these two gentlemen.
Yes, of course. Again, my education, Dr. King would have been about a decade ahead of me. If he were living, he would be in his 80s now, I think. What was interesting in my reading, and I don't know whether I was aware at the time, but my education was of the same, I thought, stellar quality as was his. Many of the things that he would reference in his speeches, I was acquainted with and understood. But perhaps he spoke a universal language too that appealed both to those who were lettered and those who weren't. Dr. King was an inspiring man, no question about it. Just an aside, on his death, I did not react to his death as I did with John Kennedy. I did react to his death. Don Ross and I were in my office the night of his death commiserating. And it came out of my mouth talking to Don. At that time, Kennedy was killed, King was killed. I said to Don, I wonder where the third K is going to come from that will forever be the KKK. And of course, thereafter, his brother died. So to me, it symbolized in my mind there are three Ks that were going to nullify the evilness of the KKK. That was just an aside. Mm-hmm. But I do remember talking to Don Ross about that. Don was so upset that he had confided to me that he had done a dastardly thing in protest. We then flew, my dad, myself, I think Amos Hall, who was a jurist here, who had done work with Thurgood Marshall in the early U.S. Supreme Court cases. McLaren was one of the cases, I think. There were two others. Anyway, we all go to the funeral. I mean, I felt committed to go to that funeral. In the later years, interesting enough, my nephew, my brother Edward's son, was Coretta Scott King, the administrative assistant. He later died in an automobile fatality. But Dr. King, I remember it, and I remembered what hope he gave us, if you will. Now, you have to keep in mind, I'm not stigmatized by the evils of race as some of my other colleagues were and my peers were. I didn't have to suffer those kind of things. And if I did, you know, we were taught you don't get bitter, you get better, and you had to be better than if you're going to succeed.
Did you ever join any of Martin Luther King's marches?
The only march I ever joined Dr. King was his funeral.
Okay.
I represented people, but never they were involved in demonstrations.
I'm still taken with that scene when you're sitting in the office and Ralph Abernathy and Martin Luther King walk in. What do they say to you?
Well, I have no independent recollection, but I assume they're talking about my own experience as a student. You know, again, I'm oblivious to the moment, the significance of that moment.
Yeah, that's a neat scene. This kind of helps us here as I continue in this from this book on Willie Mays. In Birmingham, Alabama, resistance to Brown versus Board of Education quickly surfaced. Before the decision, the city commissioners had abolished the ordinance that had prohibited blacks and whites from sharing any recreational activity. Mm-hmm. We assumed that whites and blacks could play ball together, and that was not the case.
Right.
The commission unanimously amended the laws so blacks and whites could play spectator sports together, including baseball, which would have more easily allowed Willie Mays to play exhibitions in his hometown. But 2 weeks after Brown, Birmingham voters resegregated baseball, among other sports, by a margin of 3-1. That's just hard to believe.
Yeah. At that time, I remember reading the Tulsa World and the Tulsa Tribune. You remember a journalist by the name of D.H. Lawrence?
Yes.
Lawrence was a rabid, right. I think, segregationist, but also was H.L. Mencken, whom I love. I mean, the guy was beautiful, but the line there was, you know, race mixing. There was a prohibition about that. Misogynist relationships were not permitted. But keep in mind now, I'm coming out of a background where my mother looks like she's white. My grandpa looks like he's white. We have Jewish blood in us. We have Irish blood in us. We have black blood. We have Indian blood.
And you have wealth.
And wealth.
Some wealth.
Some wealth, yes. So I'm immunized from some of these kinds of things. And yet, when I would play with my playmates who were not as fortunate, I begged my father to let me go work in a country club setting or a club setting that was exclusively white or Jewish, as the case may be. I begged for that opportunity because my little playmates would tell me their stories about how rich people lived and how this happened and that happened and their successes. And I felt I was missing out on life. So I begged.
You wanted to be a servant.
As a result, my father got me a job with the husband of my health teacher at Carver, Mr. Carter, who was in charge of the locker room at Meadowbrook Country Club. So I went there. I cleaned golf shoes. I shined golf shoes. I cleaned latrines. I picked up towels. I swept the floor. I went and got food for the patrons into the locker room and drove to work in a two-seater Thunderbird. So my peers could not have one over me. I could hopefully share the same kind of experiences that they would have. So I wasn't left out. My father and my mother both would say, look, no one's better than you are, but you're no better than anyone else. They always kept that moderation, but always trying to excel, doing your best, but never getting beside yourself, ever. Don't take yourself that serious, ever. It seemed to be the hallmark of some of my training.